Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Mountain Baptist Church. Take your songbooks and turn to song number 14. Song number 14 in your songbooks. We'll sing Kneel the Cross, if you would stand. We'll sing song number 14.
Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. Come while he waits for you. List to his voice, leave with him your care, and begin a life anew. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Kneel at the cross, Jesus will meet you there. Kneel at the cross, there is room for all who would his glory share. Blessed there awaits, harmed can never befall those who are anchored there. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Kneel at the cross, Jesus will meet you there. Kneel at the cross, give look unto realms above. Turn not away to life's sparkling cup. Trust only in his love. Kneel at the cross. Leave every care. Kneel at the cross. Jesus will meet you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you, God, for our church. Thank you, God, for our pastor. Thank you, God, for your word. I pray, Lord, now that you would just bless the service. And I pray, Lord, all of us in Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated. And take your psalm books and turn to song 23. Song number 23 in your psalm books. We'll sing, There is Power in the Blood. Song number 23.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily as praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen. So welcome to Mountain Baptist Church on Wednesday evening. And just some announcements here. First of all, be in prayer for all those that aren't feeling well, or if there's any that's not. I know that McShay's talked about not feeling well, and then my wife's not feeling well. Just be in prayer for all those. I haven't been feeling well, just so you know. So hopefully I'm not the one that's like causing all these problems. But I don't have a fever, so, you know, that's how I roll. If I don't have a fever, I just tough it out and go for it. But anyway, I'm saying it's sinuses. My wife thinks it's my trip to Arizona that did it. But who knows? But everything on the list here as far as our service times are normal. So we have our normal Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon service there. So nothing different there. And then our soul winning, our normal soul winning time at 1 p.m. And so be in your place there for our normal soul winning time. And then our regional soul winning times there as well throughout the week. As far as upcoming events, we have just the prayer meetings on here for right now. And so be in prayer, obviously, for upcoming marathons. So we have, there's the New York one, right? That's going to be at the end of August and the 27th. And then we're going to do one, I'm saying it's going to be the 17th. I think that's what we're going to be doing. It's the 17th of September, which is actually our anniversary date, is the 17th. So 5 years, Mountain Baptist Church, we're going to go up to Wheeling, or at least the Wheeling area. We may go back down to Moundsville, but it's going to be in that area. But be in prayer for those upcoming events that are going to be coming up here before you know it. And then we have our chapter memory for the month as we're coming to the end of almost the end of July here. Isaiah 53 is our memory, our chapter memory. And then Genesis 1:1 is our memory verse for the week. So kids, if you haven't gotten your candy for that, this will be an easy one for you guys to get. And so be working on Genesis 1:1 there. And we got the birthdays, pregnancies, be in prayer for Miss Joyce on the pregnancy list there. And besides that, the offering box is in the back. We have the mother baby room for the mothers and babies only. Did you ask everybody if there was anybody that's hoarding invites? Okay, so let me make this announcement. I know there's been a lot of marathons and everything. Make sure if you got like a box of invites that's like in your car or something like that. It may just be that we've gone through that many invites, which is, it's fine. But we're gonna have to we're restocking. But we thought we had more than that. So if you just happen to have a box of invites or you have a whole bunch that you had from where we're going out on these different trips and stuff like that, just double check that. Either way, we're going to get some more invites. But at the same time, there's been a lot of soul winning going on. So I wouldn't be that surprised if we're just running low just from all the soul winning events and everything. So it's a good problem to have. But keep up the good work with the soul winning. That's been a blessing, obviously, this year already. Destroyed last year's number, and we're like halfway through the year. So keep up the good work with that. We're going to be continuing our study through the book of Exodus. So we're picking back up where we left off a couple weeks ago. And who is reading tonight? Is it Brother Wade? Brother Wade's going to be reading Exodus chapter 26. But before that, Brother Dave's going to sing one more song.
All right, take your song books and turn to song number 29. Song number 29 in your song books. We'll sing At the Cross, song number 29.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
All right, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Exodus, chapter number 26. Exodus chapter number 26. We'll have Brother Wade come up and read that for us.
Exodus 26, when you find your place, say amen. Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen, and blue and purple and scarlet, with cherubims of cunning work shalt thou make them. The length of one curtain shall be 8 and 20 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits, and every one of the curtains shall have one measure. The five curtains shall be coupled together one to another, and the other five curtains shall be coupled one to another. And thou shalt make loops of blue upon the edge of the one curtain from the selvage of the coupling, and likewise shalt thou make in the uttermost edge of another curtain in the coupling of the second. 50 loops shalt thou make in the one curtain, and 50 loops shalt thou make in the edge of the curtain that is in the coupling of the second. And the loops may take hold one of another. And thou shalt make 50 tatches of gold, and couple the curtains together with the tatches, and it shall be one tabernacle. And thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair to be a covering upon the tabernacle. 11 curtains shalt thou make. The length of one curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits. And the 11 curtains shall be all of one measure. And thou shalt couple 5 curtains by themselves, and 6 curtains by themselves, and shalt double the 6th curtain in the forefront of the tabernacle. And thou shalt make 50 loops on the edge of one curtain that is outmost in the coupling, and 50 loops in the edge of the curtain which coupleth the second. And thou shalt make 50 tatches of brass, and put the tatches into the loops, and couple the tent together that it may be one. And the remnant that remaineth of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remaineth, shall hang over the backside of the tabernacle, and a cubit on the one side, and the cubit on the other side, and of that which remaineth in the length of the curtains of the tent, it shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle on this side and on that side to cover it. And thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram's skins dyed red, and a covering above of badger skins. And thou shalt make boards for the tabernacle of shittim wood standing up. 10 cubits shall be the length of a board, and cubit and a half shall be the breadth of one board. 2 tenons shall there be in one board, set in order one against another. Thus shalt thou make for all of the boards of the tabernacle. And thou shalt make the boards of the tabernacle 20 boards on the south side southward. Thou shalt make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under one board for his 2 tenons, and 2 sockets under another board for his 2 tenons. And for the second side of the tabernacle on the north side, there shall be 20 boards. And there 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under one board, and 2 sockets under another board. And for the sides of the tabernacle westward, thou shalt make 6 boards. And 2 boards shalt thou make for the corners of the tabernacle and the 2 sides. And there shall be coupled together beneath, they shall be coupled together above the head of it unto one ring. Thus shall it be for them both. They shall be for the 2 corners. And they shall be 8 boards, and their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, 2 sockets under one board, and 2 sockets under another board. And thou shalt make bars of shittim wood, 5 of the boards of the one side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle, for the 2 sides westward. And the middle bar in the midst of the board shall reach from end to end. And thou shalt overlay the boards with gold, and make their rings of gold for places for the bars, and thou shalt overlay the bars with gold. And thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof which was shown thee in the mount. And thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen of cunning work, with cherubims shall it be made. And thou shalt hang it upon 4 pillars of shittim wood overlaid with gold, their hooks shall be made of gold, upon the 4 sockets of silver. And thou shalt hang up the veil under the tatches, that thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony, and the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy. And thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy place, and thou shalt set the table without the veil and the candlestick over against the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south, and thou shalt put the table on the north side. And thou shalt make a hanging for the door of the tent of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen wrought with needlework. And thou shalt make for the hanging 5 pillars of shittim wood and overlay them with gold, and their hooks shall be of gold, and thou shalt cast 5 sockets of brass for them. Let us pray. Dear Lord, please let us get something from your word tonight. Please be with the pastor as he preaches. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So you're there in Exodus chapter 26, and this is going to be dealing with the tabernacle in the wilderness, and I have a diagram. So, Brother Joseph, you mind, whoever else wants to help, passing those out. So this was probably one of the harder sermons to write or preach on, because it gives all these dimensions, it gives all these different things as far as how the tabernacle was constructed or what it was consisting of, but there's no picture, you know, in the Bible. So you're trying to basically visualize what's going on here, okay? And there's just been, I'll just say this, you know, studying this for this sermon has helped me understand how this thing was constructed, and just understanding some of the language in here, because there's just times where I'm just reading through this and I'm like, sure, you know, okay, and I just move on, you know, and just don't really get that too in depth with it. So as you know, as we're going through like Exodus 25 through 31, there's going to be stuff as far as the Ark of the Covenant, the tabernacle, the priest's garments, all these different things, and it's going to be repeated later on at the end of Exodus. And you may say, well, you're just going to repeat your sermon. Well, what I'm really kind of hitting on in these sermons, these first chapters, if you will, is really just the physical elements, just understanding what does it look like? How is this constructed? And when I get into the next chapter, the last chapters, I'm going to be hitting on maybe the more spiritual meanings on that this type of stuff. And I think it'll help to understand the spiritual meanings if you already have in your mind what this looks like, okay, to a certain extent, okay? So when you look at that diagram that you have there, you notice that it says west and east on the top and bottom there. So if you turn your sheet to where you were to think of it like a compass, you had north, south, east, west, right? So you can see that the most holy place is on the west side, and then the entrance of this tabernacle is actually on the east side. And basically that outer court, that we're not talking about that today, but just for sake of argument, outside of the tabernacle you have the laver where they'd wash themselves. The priests would wash themselves before they went into the tabernacle. And you'd also have the brazen altar that was outside of that. Okay, so that's for another sermon for another day. But you can kind of see dimensions there, okay, as far as the length and the width of this tabernacle. So the length of this tabernacle is 30 cubits in length, and it's 10 cubits wide, okay? The holy place, where you had the candlestick and the showbread and all that, that is going to be 20 cubits long and 10 cubits wide. And then the most holy, that's where the Ark of the Covenant is at, that's going to be 10 cubits by 10 cubits, okay? And I just want you to see this, so when I'm going through this, you're like, okay, I understand what's going on here. Because just up front, this is what you're seeing. It's also 10 cubits high, okay? Now, why is my phone blowing up? So, that being said, when we're dealing with cubits, and adults, children, think about this. If you're like, if you see a cubit, you're like, I don't know what that means, okay? Well, a cubit is essentially a foot and a half, okay? So 18 inches, you know, 12 inches is a foot, add 6 inches to that, you know, a half a foot, that gives you 18 inches. So this is how you look at it, okay? Let's say you have 10 cubits. How many feet is that, right? That's what you want to know. That's what I want to know, because that's how I think in units of U.S. measurement, right? We don't care about meters. We don't care about these international units because we're in America, okay? But I appreciate that, amen. And I agree with that. We should keep our units. Anyway, so if you want a simple way of understanding how many feet is a certain cubit, right, or how many cubits there is, okay, here's what you do. 10 cubits. Take half of 10. That gives you 5, and add that to the 10. Okay? That's a simple way of doing it, okay? So think about, okay, well, I have 30 cubits. How many feet is that? Take half of 30. What's half of 30? 15. Add that to the 30. You have 45. Okay? It's not crazy math here, but the thing is that that's a simple way of just kind of understanding, okay, how do I look at this in feet? Or just know this, is that the cubit, it's going to be bigger in feet, okay? So if you're like 30 cubits, you're like, well, it's more than 30 feet, okay? You're on the right track, okay? But, so I want you to just kind of look at this diagram. As we're talking about this, I'm going to kind of point to this, but you see that there's a veil that separates the Ark of the Covenant from, or the most holy place, and the holy place, okay? And the most holy places, only the high priest could go in there, okay? Not any of the other priests, just the high priest. So in the case of the wilderness here, Aaron's the only one that can go in there. His sons can't go in. And later on, you know, obviously there's going to be multitudes of priests, but only the high priest can go in there, okay? And it's once a year that they go in there too. So let's look at this, and let's see how this thing is constructed. And these curtains, actually just everything about this construction I had to think about really deeply and had to think about, like, okay, what's being said here? How does this match the dimensions? Like, what's going on, okay? So in verse 1 here, it says, "Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen in blue and purple and scarlet. With cherubims of cunning work shalt thou make them." Okay, so there's going to be 10 curtains, and they're going to basically be blue, purple, and scarlet, or blue, purple, and red, if you will, right? That's the coloring that it's going to be, and it's going to have cherubims basically sewn into it. So if you think about it, these are linen, right? So they're linen curtains that basically have cherubims that are sewn in it with these colors, okay? Now, we don't exactly know what this looks like or how intricate it was, but each curtain, okay, so there's 10 curtains, okay? It says the length of one curtain shall be 8 and 20 cubits, so 28 cubits long, and the breadth of one curtain, 4 cubits. Every one of the curtains shall have one measure, okay? So basically, you kind of have these long curtains that are, think about skinny and long, right? And so 28 cubits long and 4 cubits wide, and 4 cubits would be 6 feet, right? And so, and we could just keep it in cubits and we'll just go with that, okay? If you want me to convert it, I'll convert it all day long if you want. But the idea here is that This is going to, the whole tabernacle, this is all going to be connected. All these curtains are going to be connected, okay? It says, five curtains shall be coupled together one to another, and other five shall be coupled one to another, okay? So imagine, here's what's going on. They make these curtains that have cherubim sewn into them. Five of them are just going to be sewn together, basically. They're just going to be, it's going to make it into one curtain. Does that make sense? So it's kind of like five curtains that are made separately, and then they're sewn together to make one larger curtain, okay? So if it's four cubits per curtain, okay, then that gives you 20 cubits, right? 20 cubits, and then 20 cubits for the other one, right? Because there's another five, or you think about 10 times four is what? 40 cubits, okay? You're like, I thought it was 30 cubits. Well, I'm going to show you what's going on here, okay? So they're coupling these together, okay? So five curtains are basically sewn together, if you will, and then another five curtains are sewn together. And then it goes on to say here in verse 4, it says, thou shalt make loops of blue upon the edge of the one curtain from the salvage in the coupling, and likewise shalt thou make in the uttermost edge of another curtain in the coupling of the second. Okay, so now it's basically saying those five curtains are two different curtains. Does that make sense? It's like at this point, those five curtains that were sewn together are one curtain, and these five curtains over here that were sewn together are one curtain. Now we're talking about binding those together, okay? But how are they doing it here? They're going to basically put these loops of blue, okay? And then notice what it says here in verse 5. 50 loops shalt thou make in the one curtain, and 50 loops shalt thou make in the edge of the curtain that is in the coupling of the second, that the loops may take hold one of another. And thou shalt make 50 tatches of gold and couple the curtains together with the tatches, and it shall be one tabernacle. Now, what's going on here? Basically, you have five curtains that are 20 cubits long, 20 cubits wide by 28 cubits long, okay? Two of those. And they're basically making these loops on the end of them, and then they're basically coupling them together with gold tatches. Now, we don't know if they're like gold rings, right? But basically, it's if you think of like a shower curtain, right? If you have a shower curtain that you're basically holding on to something, right? But imagine you were doing that to put two curtains together, okay? And you're basically using these gold tatches to hold them together. Now, these tatches are going to be very important for a very important part of this tabernacle, okay? But basically, how does this work, okay? Or how do they put laying this thing out? Well, so 40 cubits, okay, is more than 30, okay? So when you look at your chart, when you look at your tabernacle there, what's going to happen here, and I'll prove it through the Bible here, is that they're going to start the curtain that's, you know, the width of these. So you're going to kind of have like a, kind of like a stripe, if you will, of curtains that are going to be going down here. And you're going to have 20 cubits that's going to come to the veil. That's where the tatches are, okay? You're going to have another 10 cubits, but then the rest of that curtain is going to go over the back side of the tabernacle, okay? So basically, all sides of this tabernacle are going to be covered with the curtain except for the front, okay? The end of the chapter talks about how there's going to be this veil, or this basically curtain that's made specifically for the front, and there's five pillars in the front. So when you're dealing with these curtains, okay, because you're going to have these linen curtains, and you're going to have the curtains of goat's hair that go over top of that, and then you're going to have the badger skins, and you're going to have the ram skins and all this, okay? It's covering all sides but the front, okay? So think about the long sides, the back side, and the top, okay? So think about this box, if you will, right? It's 10 cubits high, 10 cubits across, you know, over the top of it, and 10 cubits back down, right? So that's technically 30 cubits, okay? The goat's hair ones we're going to see are actually 30 cubits long. These linen ones are a little shorter than that, aren't they? They're 28 cubits long. That's going to give you one cubit off the ground, okay? So if you imagine, if you were to stand here and you had this curtain going across over top of the ceiling and going down the side, you'd have like a foot and a half where it doesn't come to the ground. Does that make sense? So let's go to the goat's hair one because it's going to explain that here. So imagine you have kind of this rectangle box, and these curtains are basically going over top of it. The attaches that are holding those two curtains together is going to be right over where the veil's at. Okay, that's where the veil actually attaches to. Okay, it attaches to those attaches. That's how we know that the holy place is double the length of the actual holiest, you know, of all. Now, look at verse 7 here. Again, I'm not really getting into the deep spiritual meaning of it. You know, why is it blue? Why is it purple? And why is it scarlet? You know, I'm not getting into any, like, spiritual things as much as just, like, here's a physical, like, here's how this thing was built, okay? Verse 7, it says, "And thou shalt make curtains of goat's hair to be covering upon the tabernacle. 11 curtains shalt thou make." So immediately you're like, 11? Why is there 11 and not 10, right? Well, let's see if the length and the width are any different. Well, in verse 8 here, it says, "The length of one curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain, 4 cubits, and the 11 curtains shall be all of one measure." Okay? So the width of these curtains are the same, okay, but there's this extra one in there. Now, it's going to actually explain why there's an extra curtain, if you will. But do you see how the length is just a little longer? So what happens is the goat's hair ones actually go the full length, okay? So it's 10 cubits high. I'll show you that because the boards are 10 cubits high, okay? So the tabernacle is 10 cubits high, so that's 15 feet high, and it's 10 cubits wide, so that's 15 feet in width, right? So basically, the goat's hair ones go all the way down to the ground, okay? Whereas the linen curtains that basically have the cherubims embroidered on them, if you will, those stop a foot and a half before you get down to the ground, okay? So let's keep reading here. It says, "And thou shalt," in verse 9 there, "and thou shalt couple 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves, and shalt double the 6th curtain in the forefront of the tabernacle." So here's why I believe there's an extra curtain, is they basically lap that last curtain, okay? So when you're up in the front of the tabernacle, it doesn't go over top of the front. There's actually this whole system of, like, how they cover the front that's going to be mentioned later on. That basically that goat's hair is going over top of it, that curtain, but then the front one, where it comes up to the front, they basically double it, okay? So it's like double the thickness of the goat's hair, okay? So that's why there's 6 on that front end. So basically, you have the same width. It's going down the line that you had with the linen ones. They're just a little longer, so they go all the way down to the ground, okay? Now, where was I at there? Double the 6th curtain in the forefront of the tabernacle, okay? So that shows you that the 6 curtains are up front from the veil, and the 5 curtains go back past the veil, okay? In verse 10 here, it says, "Thou shalt make 50 loops on the edge of the one curtain that is outmost in the coupling, and 50 loops in the edge of the curtain which coupleth the second. And thou shalt make 50 attaches of brass." So it's interesting because same kind of thing that we saw with the linen, but now instead of gold attaches, it's brass attaches, which is very interesting because brass is used when you think about when you're going towards, when you're outside, you have the brazen altar, you have the laver in his foot, and it's all this is made of brass. So it's interesting on how you have the gold inside and you have the brass outside. You also have silver dealing with the foundations. But I don't think any of that's by accident. Again, I'm not getting into all the significance tonight. I'm just showing you. So if I do get into that on the next sermon, you're like, okay, I know what you're talking about. And it's not just out in left field when I start talking about these hatches, okay? So keep reading there in verse 11. So 50 hatches of brass, and put the hatches into the loops, and couple the tent together that it be one, okay? And it says, in the remnant, here's the key, the remnant that remaineth of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remaineth, shall hang over the back side of the tabernacle. Okay, so remember, it was 40 cubits, and you're like, wait a minute, I thought it was 30 cubits. Okay, and the reason it's 30 cubits, I'll show you from the boards laid out, it's clearly 30 cubits. So it's basically saying that you have that one curtain that's five curtains in width, right? And it attaches right there, and that's where the veil's going to be. Then you have half the next curtain that finishes out your 30 cubits. But then what do you do with the rest, right? Well, you have 10 cubits that's going down to the ground on the back side, okay? So does that make sense? I hope that makes sense, right? Is that this is all one curtain, okay, over the holy place, all one curtain. You have the tatches that's holding this other curtain together, but see how this isn't as long, so half that curtain is going to flop over the back side. That's the technical term. You flop it over, okay? So it flops over the backside. So essentially, what you'll see with the holiest of all, or the most holy place, is the fact that the linen curtains of the cherubims are over the top, over each side and the back, and there's a veil that has the cherubims on it too. So it's literally surrounded by cherubims. Okay, and again, not getting into all the spiritual meaning there, but just so you kind of picture what's going on here. So that shows us, you know, where the veil's at, because it doesn't really tell you like how far in the veil is, but when you understand that you have 20 cubits until you get to those tatches, and it says the veil's going to be attached at the tatches, and then the next curtain goes and half of it goes over the backside, then you understand that that holiest place is actually half the curtain width. Okay, which is 10 cubits, right? So now notice in verse 13 here, remember how I said the linen ones were only 28 cubits and not 30? So let me ask you this before I read this verse. Okay, let's see with your math skills, okay, here. If you have 28 cubits, it's going over the top of the tabernacle, that's 10 cubits across, and then it comes down. How, you know, basically, how much do you have left? When you think of the goat's hair one that's going across, how much is going to go past the linen on each side? So it says in verse 13, and a cubit on the one side, and a cubit on the other side of that which remaineth in the length of the curtains of the tent, it shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle on this side and on that side to cover it. So think about it. Like, what's 30 minus 28, you have two cubits. You have a cubit on each side, right? If you lay it out symmetrically, which you will and should, because, you know, I think God likes things to be symmetrical. I think things should be symmetrical, but the Bible's showing it as being symmetrical. Now, so I hope that makes sense with the curtains, okay? I think that's one of the more difficult things to kind of, when you're reading through here, you're like, what's going on with these curtains? Which direction are they going? Okay, what's with these tatches? Okay, and you may ask the big thing is like, why isn't it just like, why don't you just make them all together, right? Why don't you just sew all these curtains together and just make one big giant curtain? The tatches have a reason, because the tatches are where they actually connect the veil. And that veil is a very crucial part of this tabernacle when it comes to, you know, the priest's office, okay? Now, go to verse 14. This could end up being a fairly short sermon, because I'm just basically explaining to you the dimensions of the tabernacle, okay? Just to be honest with you. I'm not going into, like, I think I go to Hebrews once here to just kind of give you a little more clarity on what you're seeing. But to be honest, I'm explaining this chapter as best I can. And you may look at this and be like, you didn't do much work for this sermon. You just put down some verses and you're explaining it. But here's the thing, okay? Take some study to actually know what you're explaining, okay? Because this is one where I'm like, man, I was reading what Solomon's temple is, you know, in Ezekiel, the one in Ezekiel, and they're a little different too when it comes to the dimensions and everything. So verse 14, it says, and thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram skin dyed red, and a covering of badger skins, okay? Now, basically you have, think about this tabernacle, right? Right now we don't really have a structure of how these things are being held up. We're going to get to that, okay? But basically you had the linen with the cherubim embroidery. That's the inside, right? Then you have the goat's hair that's going over top of that, that's completely covering the tabernacle, right? But then, I mean, think about this, though. If it rains, what's protecting everything inside there? So you actually have two layers of skins, okay? You have the ram skins that are dyed red and for a covering. And it doesn't say the dimensions of this, so this could very well be something that's kind of like tented out from it to keep the water and everything off of it. I would imagine that's why that's there, okay, as far as like basically a roofing material, if you will, for this thing. And so you have the ram skins that are dyed red, so obviously those are going to look red. Then you had the badger skins. Now, Brother Dave and I were just discussing this, you know, because I was talking to him about like how I was trying to make sense of all the different things of the tabernacle and how I'm going to try to explain it and stuff like that. And we were both just talking about, have you ever really thought about like how many badgers were out there in the wilderness, right? like what was going on with these badgers, right? I mean, that's a lot. I mean, think about how big that tabernacle was. I mean, it's not like crazy big, but badgers aren't that big, right? Have you seen a badger? Okay. I don't know if they were honey badgers, but they're badgers, you know, and so it just kind of, you know, outside of like really what we're talking about is like, how many badgers did they have to kill? And did God like send them the badgers, right? Was it like this herd of badgers that came in and they're just like up in their tree with their bows and just like killing badgers all day long? And did they have an assembly line for how they like skinned the badgers? So the rams, you make sense, right? You have herds of lambs or sacrificing rams, you know, that are doing all this stuff. But the badgers, you know, they probably depleted the badger population, right? And that's why there's no more badgers out there in the wilderness of Sinai, right? Maybe there is. You know, that'd be interesting if you went out, like, took a trip out of Saudi Arabia, right? And you're out in the wilderness of Sinai, and they're just like, I saw a badger. You'd be like, they're still there. So anyway, that's a side note, but in Exodus chapter 36, I believe it's actually very clear that you have the ram skins, then you have the badger skins on top of that. So basically, the badger skins are literally the last thing you see, right? So I hope that makes sense with the coverings of this tabernacle as far as how that was all laid out. But how about the structure of it? How was this held up, right? You don't just like throw like a curtain into the wind and then just hope it stays up, right? Something's holding it up, okay? And this is where these boards come in. Okay, so let's go to Exodus chapter 26 and verse 15, okay? So this is where we get the height. So this is how we know the height of the tabernacle is 10 cubits because of the length of these boards, okay? So in verse 15, it says, and thou shalt make boards for the tabernacle of shittim wood standing up. 10 cubits shall be the length of a board, and a cubit and a half shall be the breadth of one board. Two tenons shall there be in one board, set in order one against another. Thus shalt thou make for all the boards of the tabernacle. Okay, so let's talk about these boards real quick. Let's just talk about the dimensions of them, okay? So the dimensions of these are 10 cubits length, and they're standing up, so obviously it's going from the ground up 10 cubits. That's 15 feet, right? So each board is a 15-foot board, and the width is a cubit and a half, okay? And so what's going to happen here is that you're going to have these boards that are standing up that have a certain width, and they're going to basically place them down the line. And just basically board it out. You think of, what is that called? Board and batten, right? If you board and batten a house, right? What do? You basically put boards that are standing straight up as you're siding, and then the batten is just basically what holds it together, you know, holds the boards together, right? Now, they don't use batten in this. They actually use bars, that they're going to use to hold these together. But just so you kind of see what's going on here, is that 10 cubits, that gives us our height. Here's how we know the dimensions, length and width, okay? Because of how many boards are used on the north side and the south side and the west side, okay? So notice what it says here in verse 18, okay? And thou shalt make the boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards on the south side southward, okay? 20 boards, and just so you know, look at verse 20, and for the second side of the tabernacle on the north side, there shall be 20 boards. So the north and south, you can see, is the long side, okay? This will show you, obviously, which side is the long side, because the west is going to be 6 boards, okay? So obviously, 6 is less than 20. You only really need to know how to decipher these cubits. But if you have 20 boards, and they're a foot and they're a foot and a half each, okay? I'm sorry, not a foot and a half. They're a cubit and a half, okay? Then how many cubits does that give you? Remember, you take half and add it, right? So half of 20 is 10, and add that to 20, you got 30 cubits, okay? So that's where you get your 30 cubit length, okay? And then look at, remember it said that each board had 2 tenons. You're like, what is that talking about? Okay. So I'm just going to explain it to you, and then we read it. I think that probably is the best way to do this, is that I explain it to you, we read it, and then you kind of see, oh, okay. Basically, each board is going to have 2 things on the bottom of it for it to tie into a socket of silver. Okay, 2 sockets of silver. So basically, if you think about it, if you just set these boards in the ground, how is it keeping it from, like, flopping over, right? So basically, God has them put all these sockets of silver on the ground, and these tenons are basically, think about, like, a socket as, like, being that right there, like the socket in the wall, right, the outlet, and the tenons would be, like, the, you know, the thing you're putting in there, right? So you kind of have like a male end, female end type thing that's going on there, that you have these boards that have basically this element at the bottom of it. I don't really know what the tenons exactly look like, but it's basically kind of a, in wood structures, this is all the time, right? Where you have kind of like you peg it, right? You use pegs, you use different things to, where you can basically hold wood together without even using any type of instruments, okay? And it just kind of, you hammer it in, and then it's held tightly together, okay? And the thing that you have to understand about the tabernacle in the wilderness is that it's made to be taken apart and put back together all the time, okay? That's why it's done this way, okay? Is because it's meant to be mobile, okay? Everything is meant to be taken down and put back up, okay? This is not a permanent structure that we're dealing with here, okay? So notice what it says in verse 19. It says, and thou shalt make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards. Okay? So this is why the 2 tenons are on the bottom. Okay? So think about, you have this board that has a certain width. Okay? So a cubit and a half, a cubit's like this, so a cubit and a half would be like this, right? You're almost dealing with like 2 feet. Right? So basically, you have, basically at the bottom of those boards, you have some kind of like tenon that would basically snap into at each one of those tenons, there's a socket of silver. Okay, so there's 2 sockets of silver for each one of those. So there's 20 boards, that means there's 40 sockets of silver that it's setting on. Okay, now in verse 19 it says, thou shalt make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under one board for his 2 tenons, and 2 sockets under another board for his 2 tenons. So down the line, basically every single board has 2 sockets of silver, okay? In verse 21, it says, and there are 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under one board, and 2 sockets under another board, talking about the north side. So you have the south and north, it's all the same, okay? Now let's look at the west side. Okay, so if you remember, that's the north and south, so that's your long sides. Okay, you have these boards that are standing up down the line. They're socketing into this silver, right, to where the bottom of them are tied in together there. Okay, so now the west side, Notice what it says here in verse 22. It says, and for the sides of the tabernacle westward, thou shalt make six boards. Now, six boards, and they're a cubit and a half, right? That's nine cubits. And you're like, wait a minute, Pastor, I thought you said it was 10 cubits was the width. Okay? So what you have to understand, though, is you're not taking into account the thickness of those sideboards. Okay? The inside dimension of the tabernacle, the inside dimension is 9 cubits. The outside dimension is 10 cubits. Okay? So what's going on is these boards are going down the line 30 cubits. Okay? Exactly. So that means that they're going past, meaning that if you were to put that board on the outside of those boards that are 30 cubits, that means the tabernacle is not 30 cubits long. It's actually 30 cubits plus the length of, plus the width of that board. Does that make sense? You're like, why does that matter? Well, I'm sure it does. So meaning this is that the boards were actually going into the side of those sideboards. Okay, so the west boards were going into the side of it. That means that the inside dimension is 9 cubits. So if the whole dimension, if the width is 10 cubits, okay, that means those boards are a half a cubit in width, in thickness. Okay? Those are pretty thick, right? So that's 9 inches. Those boards are stout. Okay? We're not dealing with 2x here. So they're 9 inches thick. Okay, so I don't know about you, but maybe it's just because I'm a structural engineer because I like to like see how they constructed this. Okay, and you said you may be thinking of like this is boring, you know, like why are we talking about this? One, it's a whole chapter in the Bible, so every word of God is pure. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Okay. You know what's interesting about this? As a structural engineer, when you think about lateral resistance of a building, okay, meaning this is that, let's say the wind were to blow on this building, you don't want it to just topple over like, you know, just popsicle sticks, okay? When you design a building, everything, you can't just have two walls that are holding back the resistance of anything. You have to have at least three. And when you think about, generally speaking, kind of the best case scenario is you have four sides, kind of like a square, where each four of those walls, if you will, is like holding back the wind pressure in each direction, because the wind can blow from all directions, right? North, south, east, west. But a C shape works as well. And it's exactly what the tabernacle in the wilderness had, was a C shape of boards that were socketed into the ground. And that also, we'll see, had bars that were holding them together and structurally sound, okay, for the elements, if you will. And so from a structural engineering perspective, I'm looking at it as like, man, that's, you know, that, I mean, obviously God knew this way before. I mean, this was thousands of years ago, but he's constructing this temple. And by the way, you can model how you would even make a structure based off of this, and it'd be structurally sound. Okay, now you say, what's holding it down from being toppling over? Well, how much does that silver weigh? Okay, it's not like they dug down and made foundations in the ground. Okay, this is portable. So how do you make something that's portable not blow away? Weight, or counterweight, if you will. Okay, so I'm going too deep on that. But I think it's interesting, and I think it's something that, you know, when I'm reading through here, if anything, when you read through Exodus now and you're reading about the tabernacle, hopefully you're just like, oh, okay, I know what that's talking about. Because I know when I've read through it many times, I'm just like, sure, okay, there's tatches. There's a lot of badger skins, you know. And you're just like, okay, I'm good with that. And you're kind of picking up the things that you know, right? That you're like, okay, I know about the candlestick. I know about the Ark of the Covenant. I know about this and all that, okay? Now, look what it says here in verse 23. Dealing with the structural integrity of this, Think about how you have these boards and they're kind of butting up to each other, okay? But how do you tie the corners in, okay? And you may look at these verses right here and think, what's that? Why does that matter? Structurally speaking, this is actually a very important element here, I think, that it's tying these corners together and basically locking them in, okay? What's going on here? Verse 23, it says, "In two boards shalt thou make for the corners of the tabernacle and the two sides," okay? So there's two corners, if you will, if you think about it, right? Think about this front end as being open and not being like a part of the actual structural elements at the moment. There's going to be pillars there, but for sake of argument, this is a big C shape, right? There's two corners, okay? It's on the west side of the tabernacle. There's two corners, and it's basically saying there's going to be two boards on each corner, okay? Added to those boards, okay? So these are extra boards here that basically are tying those boards that are butted together. It's basically making an L shape, if you will, that's going to tie all these, that corner together. So it just stiffens up those corners and ties it together here. Now, notice what it says in verse 23. It says, "In two boards shalt thou make for the corners of the tabernacle and the two sides, and thou shalt be coupled together beneath, and thou shalt be coupled together above the head of it unto one ring. Thus shall it be for them both, they shall be for the two corners, and thou shalt and they shall be eight boards, their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, two sockets under one board and two sockets under another board." Okay, so basically you kind of have this doubling up there, right? So it says eight boards. Well, how do you have eight boards? You have four on each corner, okay? So you have two extras on each corner. You already had two on each corner, right, before you added these. So you basically have these doubled up boards that are attached both at the bottom and the top, and there's one ring attached to all of that, okay? And these rings are where they put the bars through that basically hold all these boards together to where they don't fall in and out from each other, okay? So all you need to know about that, okay, if you can't visualize that as far as what's going on there, basically you have an L shape, if you will, of boards that are stiffening up those corners, is that that's what it's doing, okay? I believe this is where it's tying those long ends into the short west end and just locking that back end into those long ends, okay? And this really gets into the structural integrity of it. Dealing with the bars and rings to hold the bars, okay? Notice what it says in verse 26. It says, "And thou shalt make bars of shittim wood, five for the boards of the one side of the tabernacle, and five bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and five bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle for the two sides westward. And the middle bar in the midst of the boards shall reach from end to end." Now, there's different ways to understand how they did this. It could be that they have rings on the top of these boards, rings on the bottom, and rings in the middle. And that basically, the middle one, the bar went all the way 30 cubits. Okay? And the top and bottom ones, they had two bars on the bottom and two bars on the top that didn't reach all the way through. Right, they're kind of half the size, okay? So 15 cubits, but the middle one went the whole span, okay? So that's why you have five on one side, five on the other, okay? And then on the back side, I think it's probably stating, since it says for the two sides of the westward, is that on both the inward and the outward side, you had bars, five bars that are holding that one, five bars that are holding the other one, okay? But in the end, all this is really stating to you, even if we don't visualize exactly what this looks like, okay? Because again, we may not be able to speak of it particularly. We weren't there to see it. We don't have it here to look in front of us and say, hey, here it is. Is the fact that these bars went through these rings. And notice in verse 29 here, it says, "And thou shalt overlay the boards with gold and make their rings of gold for places for the bars, and thou shalt overlay the bars with gold." So all of this is all this shittim wood of the boards, the bars, the the rings, everything is gold. Okay, it's just gold plated. Okay, so when you think of these boards, think about them. They're gold plated boards that are going up. Okay, so if you thought the wood was strong, add gold plates to that. Okay, as far as the structural integrity of this goes. Okay, and they're 9 inches thick, you know, 9-inch thick boards going down the line. Okay, so hopefully that makes sense as far as like you have these three walls, if you will, the two long ones and the back. Shorter wall, if you will, in which the backside is where you have the holiest of all, that are these boards that are standing up, the rings that are there for the staves to go through, right? Or the bars, as they would call them, right? And now think about this. That's how they took it apart, right? I mean, think about like, oh, okay, the cloud moved. They got to take all the coverings off of it, right? Because this is how the coverings were held up, right? You have these three walls, right? And we'll see later there's these pillars as well, but that are separating the holy place from the most holy and the entrance of the whole tabernacle. But basically these curtains were going over top of these walls, right? And that's how it was held up, okay? And basically all this could be taken down. You know, they think about taking it down, they take all the curtains off of it. Well, first of all, they take all the skins off of it. They take all the curtains off of it. Then they have to take these boards down, so they got to take all the bars out, right? Take the boards out of the sockets. Now, I don't know how exactly they, you know, picked up all these sockets and how they, like, you know, stored them and how they took them down, you know. But basically, you're kind of planking out these boards, and then you got to take it somewhere else, and then you got to put them all back in, you know, and then you have to put the rods through it again and set it up. It's basically like setting up a tent. And it mentions this a lot in Exodus, dealing with the tent of the tabernacle. And doesn't it seem like a tent? I mean, literally, the roof of this thing is a tent roof. It's made up of skins as far as the roofing material, okay? It doesn't mention anything about, like, any type of hard structure going over top of this tabernacle. It's a tent roof, okay? So, going on from that, go to verse 30 there. Verse 30. It says, "And thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof which was shown thee in the mount." Notice that this keeps being brought up. He's in the mount, right? This is when he went into that thick cloud of darkness, and he's up in the mount, and God is showing him all this stuff, right? He showed him the Ark of the Covenant, and you know, we saw in chapter 25 different instruments, which we'll get into other instruments as well, and the garments and all that. But at this point, he's showing him the tabernacle, and he's saying, you know, fashion it according to that which I showed thee in the mount. And again, go to Hebrews chapter 8, And honestly, this is really the only time I'm taking you anywhere other than Exodus 26, okay? But I just want you to see, one, that we can visualize this, but it can only go so far because we weren't eyewitnesses of this, and it's no longer here for us to be eyewitnesses of the finished product, okay? That's where it gets into we cannot speak particularly, right? But it says in verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 8, it says, "Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God, when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount." So that's what he's stating here, is that, and Moses is basically overseeing to make sure that they're making it. Now, obviously, later on, we're going to see how Aholiab and Bezalel, you know, and these other men that God basically gave wisdom to make these things, okay? But obviously, Moses is showing them the pattern, and he's there. He's an eyewitness and knows what it should look like, okay? Go to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 1. Now, I want you to think about this picture that we see here, because Hebrews chapter 9 specifically tells us the different elements of the tabernacle. Now, notice that in Exodus, it talks about how this first place, when you go into the entrance of the tabernacle, it's called the holy place. But then where the Ark of the Covenant's at, past the veil, is called the most holy. So in the New Testament, it's going to call it the holiest of all, okay? Same thing. But it's just the idea that we're going to be dealing with the same thing here. Verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 9, it says, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service in a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is the sanctuary. So, in the New Testament, it states that it's basically like two tabernacles, if you will. It's all one tabernacle, technically. It's all one big structure, right? But these two compartments are basically noted as being the first tabernacle and the second tabernacle. Does that make sense? The first tabernacle was called the sanctuary. So a lot of times in the Bible, you'll see the sanctuary mentioned. That means this area. It says where the candlestick is and the table of showbread. Also, it's going to be where the altar of incense is at. But that's where all the priests could go, but none of the other priests besides the high priest could go past that veil into the second. Okay, so let's see. Let's keep reading here. It says in verse 3, and after the second veil, so this is the first veil. There's a veil that we're going to be talking about going into the entrance into this first tabernacle or the holy place or the sanctuary there. After the second veil, notice what it says. The tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded in the tables of the covenant. So, obviously, we know that in the Ark of the Covenant, at one point, there was all three of those things. Okay. Later on, in the Old Testament, it'll state that when they opened up the Ark of the Covenant, the only thing that was there was the tables of stone. Okay. Whatever happened to the other stuff, I don't know. But later on, it wasn't all there. Okay. But keep reading there. In verse 5, it says, and over it, the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Okay? Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle according to the service of God, but into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost is signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood in meat only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. And obviously in the New Testament that was all done away, the veil was rent and all that. Okay, but you can see from the explanation of Hebrews chapter 9, you have this first place, which is the sanctuary, where you had the candlestick and the showbread, and you go past this first veil in there. Only the priest could go in there, okay? They would do the office of the priesthood, but only the high priest could go past this second veil, which went into where the Ark of the Covenant was, and he'd only go in there once a year to offer the blood of others, okay? So, if anything, understanding the structure of the tabernacle will help you understand what's being stated there when it's saying, what's this first tabernacle and the second? It's not talking about like, well, there's two tabernacles, guys, you know, one's over here, one's over here. No, it's the temple, it's the tabernacle, but the tabernacle is kind of divided into two different sections, okay? And there's this veil that kind of that separates those two different areas, and that's what it's talking about. So go to back to Exodus chapter 26 and verse 31, and we'll finish up here. So, this is where these tatches come in as far as the importance of these tatches. Because we're going to talk about the veil, okay? That veil that goes into that second tabernacle, or the holiest of all, or the most holy place. That's where the Ark of the Covenant's at. So in Exodus chapter 26 and verse 31, it says, "Now shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen of cunning work, with cherubim shall it be made." Now remember, the curtains were all made of that as well, and they were over, you know, basically that whole area, that whole holiest area, holiest of all, is covered in this linen with cherubims of cunning work in that, okay? And so you can think about how when you look at God's throne and he has these seraphim surrounding him and he's got these cherubim surrounding him and how all that makes a lot of sense, actually, when you think about what's actually in heaven. Now, keep reading there in verse 32. It says, "And thou shalt hang it upon four pillars of shittim wood overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold upon the four sockets of silver. And thou shalt hang up the veil under the tatches that thou mayest bring in hither within the veil the ark of the testimony. And the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy. So what's going on here is that this veil is attached to those tatches. Remember those tatches that were holding those two long curtains together that were basically flopped over the, for lack of better terms, it's flopped over the boards that are up 10 cubits high, and it's just kind of going over top of that. Well, the tatches were basically where that veil is at, okay? And so that veil is attached to these tatches, but it's also being attached to these four pillars that are there. So I would imagine it's probably like a pillar on each end and then two pillars that are equal distant from each other. Okay, I'm just going to say that for sake of argument in my OCD that they are literally symmetrical in there. I don't know. It doesn't say exactly the distancing, but there's four pillars there of gold, and this veil is basically attached to all this, and only the high priest can go past that. Okay. So that shows you, you know, and again, this really just shows you that that's where the holiest starts, right? Is that you have, remember the 20 cubit width of curtain attaches, and then another 20 cubits of curtain. But remember, half of that curtain goes over the backside. Okay, so it's really 10 cubits that go into the holiest of all. That's the ceiling of it, if you will. The rest is the backside of it. Okay, so that shows you what's going on with you know, the dimensions of this. Verse 34. So Exodus chapter 26 and verse 34, it says, and thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy place. So that's where the ark of the covenant's at, obviously. Go to verse 35. It says, and thou shalt set the table without the veil. So the table is the table of showbread, right? That's without the veil, so that's in the sanctuary. That's in that first area, that holy place. So that's in this bigger area right here. Now, this is how you know where it's located, okay? Notice what it says here. It says, thou shalt set the table without the veil and the candlestick over against the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south. And thou shalt put the table on the north side. Okay, so they're basically against each other. So you imagine, so it says the candlestick's on the south, the table's on the north, okay? And they're against each other. So it's kind of like, you know, I could say that the pulpit and these chairs are against each other, right? They're facing each other, facing against each other, if you will, right? And so if you were to walk into the tabernacle, you go through that first veil, you have the table of showbread on your right, you have the candlestick on your left, you have the altar of incense right in front of you, which has the veil that goes into the holiest of all, okay? So the Bible paints the picture of like exactly where this stuff's going to be. So you can imagine that what do you see when you walk in there, right? You have this candlestick of seven lamps. You have the showbread table over here. And, you know, you can kind of imagine what the dimensions are, that this room is twice as long as the holiest of all, okay? And at this point, okay, you have this whole tabernacle, but what's going on in the front of the tabernacle, right? And this is where the chapter ends here, is that we're dealing with, okay, the door of the tabernacle, okay? Notice what it says in verse 36. And thou shalt make an hanging for the door of the tent of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen wrought with needlework, okay? So, kind of the same kind of curtain material, if you will, but this is its own thing, right? So at this point, when you're talking about these curtains going over top of this tabernacle, you're like, what about the front, right? This is where the front comes in, that this is the entrance. There's no boards there, okay? But notice what it says here in verse 37. And thou shalt make for the hanging five pillars of shittim wood and overlaid them with gold, and their hooks shall be of gold, and thou shalt cast five sockets of brass for them. Okay? So that's interesting, you know, that what's interesting about the outside of the tabernacle, once you kind of come outside, it's brass, okay? So you have these five pillars of gold, sockets of brass. So there were sockets of silver, but those are all covered up by skins, okay, as far as the boards are concerned. You had the brass tatches that were on the goat's hair curtain, right? Then you're gonna have the brazen altar, the laver and his foot, and the all that stuff that's outside there. But the brass, just to give you a little insight, or just one little spiritual meaning here, it talks about Jesus' feet being like polished brass that was in a furnace of fire, and how that has to do with the sacrifice, right? You know, that was made, and just how brass represents that, okay? Obviously, silver and gold have their places as well when it comes to what that would represent. But that's the tabernacle. And I know I just kind of explained it and just going through the chapter, but I think that's probably the simplest way to do it than going like from here to there. But just hopefully this little diagram that I just found online that wasn't, I didn't want it to be one of those diagrams that shows all this crazy stuff, and I'm like, that's probably not true, this isn't true. This is just straight up some lines that point to it and say what it is. That it helps you understand what's going on when you're reading through this chapter, and hopefully next time you read through Exodus chapter 26 or 36, you'll read through it and be like, okay, I know what's going on here. I understand how they constructed this thing, at least for a broad spectrum of how you're looking at it, okay? But that's the tabernacle. Again, when we get to chapter 36, we'll get into some more spiritual meanings as far as like what's going on with that, why is it this way, what's some spiritual applications that go with this. But right now, just get in your head, what does this thing look like, right? So let's end with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the book of Exodus. And thank you for these passages, Lord, where you explain to us what your tabernacle looked like, how you constructed it. And there's so many things, even on just a level of understanding how to construct things, Lord, that we can learn from it. But Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to learn not only the physical meanings, but also the spiritual meanings that go behind all these elements, dealing with the tabernacle and all the instruments and the service that was done there to show what's truly in heaven. And Lord, we love you. Pray that you be with us throughout the rest of this week. Pray that you be with all those that aren't feeling well. And Lord, we pray all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So Brother Dave will come and sing one more song, and then we'll be dismissed.
All right, take your songbooks and turn to song 118. Song 118, we'll sing Near to the Heart of God. If you would stand, we'll sing song 118.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God, a place